Good morning, church. Today's reading is taken from John chapter 11, verses 17 to 37. That can be found on the church Bibles on page 1078. That's John chapter 11, verses 17 to 37, page 1078. Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha had heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he's asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Stephen. Now Mike's going to come and unpack it for us.
Thank you very much, Les. Well, good morning from me as well. Good morning. It is great to gather together, isn't it, to worship the Lord. And we're going to be continuing with the I Am statements in John's Gospel, from that one from John 11. So let's pray and ask for God's help, shall we? Father God, there are many wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at another this morning, we help us to be amazed, help us to believe once again in the amazing and wonderful Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we are, another of John's famous I Am statements, or Jesus' I Am statements. And I'll just read it. It's there in verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now it's clearly a statement about life and death, but it's also clearly a statement about belief. Because three times in those two verses, belief appears. And belief in the Bible isn't some sort of vague, I believe that God is out there sort of idea. It's something much more concrete. And actually, Jesus is putting some flesh on that word this morning, on the word belief. And he does this in the middle of a drama. Because in John chapter 11, we've got a good friend of Jesus, a guy called Lazarus. And he had died. In fact, while he was unwell, Lazarus' sisters had sent a message to Jesus saying, "Come quickly." And Jesus' response, please look back with me at verse 5. It's a bit shocking, actually. Just flick back to chapter 11 and verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And we're thinking, why? Why the delay, Jesus? Well, flick forward to verse 14. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So why the delay? Why the delay to going to Lazarus when he was ill and then he died? Well, the delay was so to help Lazarus' sisters, because that's who he's talking to there, to believe. To help millions of people since to believe. To help you and I to believe. And that's maybe what you need this morning. You need help to trust in Jesus. I know many of us here this morning, we already believe. But as someone else who met Jesus once said with these famous words, he said to Jesus, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. Words that could so easily come out of my mouth, I don't know about yours. Help me overcome my unbelief. So let's get into our first point this morning. Right, but not right belief. Right, but not right belief. So Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, hears that Jesus is on his way, and she rushes out to meet him. And we're told in verse 21 this, chapter 11 and verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answers, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And here, Martha's words, they're overflowing with belief, aren't they? Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I mean, she trusted Jesus that much. She knew that if Jesus asked God, Father God to do anything, it was a done deal. Again, she trusted Jesus that much. She knew death wasn't the end. I mean, Jews at that time, and they read the Old Testaments like we do, and they knew there would be a final resurrection. Martha is a lady of faith, of belief, of trust. And in many ways, to such an extent that it can put many Christians to shame. Yes, Martha believes, but her belief is missing something. And isn't that common today? How about around half the population in the UK believe in life after death in some form? I mean, the next time you're down at Lakeside, and it's busy, one in every two people passing by believe in life after death in some way. They're on the right track. But we don't want them to stop there, do we? We want them to ask themselves, why do you believe in life after death? Do you have a solid foundation for it? What are the implications for your life today? How do you know that life after death is something to look forward to? How do you know you'll be included? Sadly, so many people aren't interested in these questions. I mean, at one level, they're right. Life after death is real. At another level, they're wrong. Because does it really belong to them? Right, but not right belief. Something is missing. Actually, it's not something, it's somebody. And that somebody is actually absolutely vital. And our second point this morning, right belief must have Jesus given life. See, Martha knew Jesus could heal. For Martha, Jesus was in the picture. But did you not notice what was missing from the picture when it came to Martha's view of the resurrection in verse 24? Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. What's missing? Jesus. And therefore, Jesus says these famous words, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives, believing in me, will never die. Do you believe this? Martha, yes, there is a resurrection. But as far as Jesus is concerned, it's impossible to talk about the resurrection without talking about him. Because he is the resurrection. He was the first person to die and then to rise again, to never die at a point in the future. Therefore, it is only Jesus who can say to someone, the resurrection, to anyone who will believe, you'll have life forever. But the tricky words here are in him. I mean, as a church minister, I've done many funerals over the years. And my experience, like the surveys I mentioned earlier, is that many people believe in life after death, but they so often make the mistake that Martha was making. They leave out the very person who conquered the grave, who can resurrect people. The one who can say resurrection life is so intertwined with who he is, he could say with absolute confidence, I am the resurrection and the life. We need Jesus. And we need both resurrection and the life that he offers. Because death is coming to all people, isn't it? That isn't a surprise, including Christians. Jesus is clear about that in verse 25. Even though you will die, you will live. A resurrection must take place. But once you're resurrected, as amazing as that is, something needs to fundamentally change, doesn't there? Because there's no point just being resurrected back into this broken body that I'm in at the moment. We need something to be different. We need the life that Jesus gives so we never die again. I mean, Lazarus, he was in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus said to that rotting corpse, come out. And he did. And he was wonderfully restored. And he could enjoy many years ahead with family and friends. And I'm sure he would have got busy serving Jesus. But he was going to die again. Jesus was the first to die, to rise to life again, and then stay alive. Done. So he can offer the same to you and me. And Jesus wanted to divert Martha's focus on sort of an abstract belief on the resurrection to a personal trust in Jesus, who gives the life and resurrection. And you notice how in control Jesus is here. I mean, verse 25, as he says these words, there's not a hint of self-doubt on Jesus' part, is there? I am the resurrection and the life. And when Jesus stood outside Lazarus' tomb, verse 40, please. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I mean, what a thing to say to a mourning sister, unless you were 100% confident you're going to raise Lazarus to life. Verse 43, and when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Such authority and control over death itself. You know, what's the best we can manage? A bit of extra exercise, some popping some supplements, you know, regular checkups at the doctor. You know, I mean, we don't have a hope of stopping death. Jesus is so different. He knows that he can give life. He did give life to Lazarus. He does give life to us today. But then comes the crunch question. And it's there at the end of verse 26. Do you believe this? And that's our third point this morning. It's that question. Do you believe this? And it's a huge question. Because Jesus is asking not just them, but he's asking us. Do you believe in him as the resurrection and the life? And so much rests on this. Because believing that there is life after death is not enough. Remember, this whole Lazarus dying and rising thing is about belief. Not in the resurrection, but about in Jesus being the resurrection. And there are so many people today living life under a false hope. Hope of eternal life. Which, if they continue to keep Jesus at arm's length, but it's a hope which will turn out to be wrong. But then there's another way to go wrong as well, because it's possible to say, yes, life after death is real, I accept that. And it's also possible to say that I accept that Jesus is the way to get eternal life. He is the giver and sustainer of eternal life. It's possible to understand that intellectually, but to still keep Jesus at arm's length. To know something, but not to trust in that something. And many of you have seen me or heard me do this illustration before, but I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, I could say to this chair, I don't often talk to chairs and furniture, by the way. I could say to this chair, I believe you will hold me up. If I sat on you, you will hold me up. I won't fall to the floor. You might be semi-comfortable, but I believe you hold me up. But if I never sit on that chair, what does that show about my belief? It's not real. Ultimately, I don't trust it to stop me falling from the ground. We need true knowledge. Yes, we need to know something is real, true, and that the true knowledge that Jesus is the resurrection and life. But that knowledge, if truly real to you, will touch our lives in so many ways. It means when we look ahead to death, it won't hold the same fear for us as it does for so many others. I mean, when, during the time of the COVID pandemic, it was awful in lots of ways. But, you know, I mean, that daily announcement, thousands of more people have caught COVID. Hundreds of people have died each day. So hard to swallow. Death was in our faces daily, wasn't it? It was there all the time. And you could feel the fear factor across the country. And yes, the process of dying is unpleasant. I mean, sometimes it can be far worse than unpleasant. And I personally don't look forward to that process of dying. But the fact that Christians know they will come out on the other side of death with Jesus, well, it should dial down that fear factor, shouldn't it? Doesn't mean it's not, we don't look forward to the death bit, and that's still not nice, but we're not scared of it in the same way as someone who's clueless. There should be something different to how a Christian faces death. I mean, John Wesley, famous preacher a couple hundred years ago, and one of the reasons, someone asked him, why are so many people becoming Christians and going to the Methodist Church? And his answer, one of his answers was this: because so many of these people died well. There was no sugarcoating. I mean, death is still death. But at the same time, the certainty of Jesus and the resurrection and life that he offers made them calmer and more hopeful than everyone around them. Visibly so. It was a witness to the Lord. But knowing Jesus and the resurrection and the life he gives us makes such a difference. But not just at the end of our lives, but also today as well. Because the certainty of the resurrection helps us to avoid living life now as if this life is all we've got. As, you know, I mean, so many people live today, don't they, as if they have to suck every experience and good thing out of life while they have the chance. They live life as if eternal life isn't waiting for them. It isn't for many, sadly. Now, there are blessings to be enjoyed in this life, aren't there? And those things can include nice experiences and nice things. But for God's people, we hold them with a light grip. We know eternity with Jesus is where true and everlasting happiness and contentment is found. And therefore, we don't go chasing after every fun thing that this world has to offer. We don't go chasing them with the vigour that so many other people do. If the good things come, they come. If they don't, they don't. And even if the good things come our way from time to time, there'll be times when we say, actually, no, not this time, because there's a good reason for the sake of God's kingdom. Because we know Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And then finally, the difference that trusting in Jesus, the resurrection and life makes, comes directly from Martha. Please look with me at verse 25. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they will die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And then we see Martha's response. And she doesn't just parrot the words back. Verse 27. Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus, you are God's divine King. You're God himself. And you've come into this broken and needy world. I mean, I don't know if you remember Thomas after Jesus' resurrection. And he didn't believe that Jesus, the other disciples had seen Thomas and they didn't believe. And Thomas didn't believe him because he hadn't seen him himself. But when Jesus appeared to him, what did he say? My Lord and my God. I believe. Well, I think this is Martha's Thomas moment, isn't it? I believe God himself, who is in the business of resurrecting and giving life. to people who otherwise are dead in their sins. She trusted Jesus in terms of his identity and in terms of his plans. And therefore, for us today, are you ready, perhaps even for the first time, to acknowledge that you believe Jesus isn't just the resurrection and the life, but he is your resurrection, your life? And remember, this isn't any old Jesus. This is the Jesus we've heard about today. And the implications are far-reaching, with the biggest one of all being, you're in his very good hands. Jesus knows all about resurrecting. He resurrected Lazarus. He was resurrected himself after the cross. He knows about it all. We're in good hands when it comes to eternity. Another implication is this. Belief in anybody else less than Jesus, the resurrection and the life, is not biblical belief. It's not Jesus' belief. I mean, there is such a temptation to soften the words of Jesus in some way. Sort of think, or, yeah, I mean, someone sometimes prays every so often, oh, that means they're a Christian. Wait on. Do they believe in Jesus, the resurrection and the life? And then last of all, this is deeply, deeply personal. Because knowing and enjoying eternal life isn't first and foremost about the joy of eternal life. It's about knowing the resurrection and the life. It's about knowing Jesus. Today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And that's the best thing ever. That is believing in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you once again for your clarity, for the Lord Jesus Christ's clarity. How we need him, the resurrection and life. Father, thank you that he has beaten death. That he gives life to us now to the full, and we can look forward to life without sin and the brokenness of this world in the future as well. Thank you that it is Jesus who gives it. Thank you that it is Jesus who is at the very center of all that. And we pray, Father, as we look forward to the things of eternity, as we enjoy the blessings of this life, keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the resurrection and the life, each and every day. In his name we pray. Amen.